The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Throughout Lent, we have been listening to God to learn how we might practice forgiveness with all our heart, soul, and mind. Forgiveness is rooted in relationship. Recognizing that God's abundant forgiveness is ours because of the relationship we have with God, because we are God's children, and being empowered through God's grace for us, to forgive ourselves and others with whom we are in relationship. Practicing forgiveness also helps us remember that faith is never a solo or individual endeavor. It is inherently communal. And while it is personal, it is never private. We are in relationship with God, with each other, and with the neighbors beyond our doors. And the fullness of our faith is diminished when our relationships are broken. But forgiveness is not a new idea. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us that God formed covenants or relationships with our ancestors in faith. There was the covenant with Noah, and then with Abram, and then with Moses and the whole people of Israel. But when the law was given in stone, the tablets were broken, and when forgiveness was given, it was rejected. Jeremiah says, "This time will be different. This time there will be a new covenant." The covenant is still grounded in forgiveness, but this time, the prophet declares, it will be written on our hearts. By grace, God writes over Whatever pain or wounds we have suffered, even the ones that are self-inflicted, cleanses our sin-scarred hearts and makes us new and whole. For us as Christians, we see this new covenant manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus that we see God make people whole, restore their relationships, and return them to their families and their communities. It is in Jesus that we see justice, the addressing of wrong actions enacted. And we see man-made or contrived boundaries and barriers and categories broken down. And that is why, as we approach Palm Sunday and Holy Week, the religious authorities were plotting to kill Jesus. But in the gospel text, it is also why the Greeks were coming to see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. It's most likely that these Greeks were Gentiles, outsiders to the old covenant, and yet here they were coming to see the Messiah, the Son of God who had come into the world. Once upon a time, the words "we wish to see Jesus" were carved into pulpits that we preachers would remember our task. And as much as I like the art that we have here at Grace, I think I would like to see these words carved into the lintels and the doorposts at every entrance to every sanctuary, so that all of us, as we leave after worship, might remember that for some, we are the only Jesus a person may meet. The evangelist tells us that Philip went to Andrew, and then together they went to tell Jesus about the Greeks who had come. But after that, the gospel account takes a turn, and we never even learn whether they got to see Jesus. Maybe the only Jesus they got to see was when they met the disciples and heard their stories of why they followed Jesus and watching what their journey looked like. They learned what it meant to be a disciple. A few years ago at a gathering of chaplains at Hood Seminary, I listened as the Brigadier General, who was at that time leading the Army and Air National Guard Chaplain Corps, spoke. Chaplain Chisholm told his story of growing up in Mississippi in a town where his daddy was the school superintendent. And as he told his story, he told us about the man that he called Brother Wallace. Brother Wallace lived next door to the church where he grew up, which was just across the street from his own house. And that meant that Brother Wallace was a witness to all the mischief that he and his brothers got into. But Chaplain Chisholm said that even in those years, when as a teenager he wasn't thinking a lot about God or faith, Brother Wallace remained a constant presence in his life. Not cajoling or coercing or chastising him, but just staying connected and interested. At 18, Chisholm enlisted in the National Guard, and a few weeks after he graduated from high school, he moved farther away from home and from his parents than he had ever gone before, to Texas for basic training. And the chaplain told the story of how there in the old World War II barracks at Lackland Air Force Base, he heard God speak to him. And he wrestled with what that meant. And as he wrestled, he wrote a letter to Brother Wallace. He didn't know what to do next, but he knew Brother Wallace was someone he could trust with his questions. who could help him see God more clearly. More than 30 years later, when Chisholm returned home for his father's funeral, he was again speaking with Brother Wallace, and the older gentleman reached into his coat pocket and pulled out that letter written by the young recruit in a complex time of uncertainty. We wish to see Jesus. It is a plea that each one of us has probably made in our lifetimes, and that our neighbors, young and old, may only have answered in our openness to accompany them and to listen to their stories and their questions. It may only be answered in our healing actions and attitudes that affirm that all people are created in the image of a loving God and therefore need and merit respect and dignity. And it may only be answered in our willingness to show up and be a visible sign of the holy in a volatile and unpredictable world. As we near the end of this Lenten season, I wonder how we can help the people around us see Jesus reflected in us. Let us pray. Covenant God, you see us for what we are, but in your mercy you do not cast us aside. In your steadfast love you forgive us our sin. May we bear your love and mercy into a hurting world in such a way that they will see you in our words and actions. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.